Another big week on the campaign trail. Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton accused each other of bigotry. Trump also sent mixed signals on immigration, saying there's no way to deport all 11 million immigrants living in this country illegally, which sounds a lot like what his former competitor Jeb Bush used to say.
Yeah, and Hillary Clinton did not have an easy week either. She had to answer more revelations about her State Department emails and Clinton Foundation donors. So it is time now for our weekly 2016 roundtable.
Here and now,
2016.
It's hard to believe there's only 10 more weeks of that.
I'm just going to say, let it out. I knew that was coming. We've got Greg Moore on the line. He's former editor of the Denver Post. Hi, Greg.
Hi.
And Julie Mason, host of The Press Pool on SiriusXM. Julie, welcome back to you.
Hey, guys.
Well, let's get straight to the tape, because it was that kind of a week. Hillary Clinton gave a speech yesterday in Nevada saying that Trump is dangerously channeling and empowering white supremacists.
A man with a long history of racial discrimination, who traffics in dark conspiracy theories drawn from the pages of supermarket tabloids and the far dark reaches of the internet, should never run our government or command our military.
And then in New Hampshire, Donald Trump said he and his supporters are not racist for wanting strong borders and strong police.
It's the oldest play in the Democratic playbook. When Democratic policies fail, they are left with only this one tired argument. You're racist, you're racist, you're racist. They keep saying it. You're racist. It's a tired, disgusting argument.
And of course, now Trump is saying that it's Clinton who's the bigot. So, Greg, just your thoughts as you watch these last few days unfold. They have been ugly.
They've been ugly. It's been like watching a tennis match. You know, the number one search term when it comes to bigot is definition of bigot. A lot of people, you know, are sadly sort of just, you know, mired in this negativity. You know, Trump, in some ways, when asked by Anderson Cooper what bigotry is, he defined it as, you know, promoting a policy you know won't work. Well, obviously, that's not what the definition is. But, you know, I think it's unfortunate the language is being used, but it's just a nasty point in the campaign, and I fear for what's going to happen during the debates. It's going to get uglier.
Well, Julie, let me ask you. On the one hand, to me, it seems like this is a moment where both candidates are recognizing the crucial importance of minority voters in America.
Mm-hmm.
But on the
mm-hmm.
other hand, I mean, I get a sense also that in a way, both candidates are also speaking to uncomfortable white voters.
Yes, especially Donald Trump trying to lure in the sort of suburban white voters who are uncomfortable with his proposed ban on Muslims and his rhetoric on Hispanics and African Americans. But he flubbed it. You know, he flubbed it this week when he was talking about how all African Americans live in terrible neighborhoods and they're getting shot at and have bad schools. That just seemed to flop. And what he's missing is that these Clinton Foundation meetings are terrible for her. They go right to the issue that so many voters have with her, that she's untrustworthy. And he's flubbing it, because if he just focused on that, he would be in a better position. You know, this whole calling it Hillary Clinton a bigot thing is not unanticipated. It was about 6 or 8 weeks ago that Donald Trump, on a call with his surrogates, told them, whatever we're accused of, accuse them back. Put them on the defensive. That's the game plan. It just doesn't work.
Yeah, and then there's this issue of immigration. Fascinating developments this week. Trump said that he was open to a softening on mass deportations, but on CNN last night, host Anderson Cooper pressed him on that.
So if you haven't committed a crime and you've been here for 15 years and you have a family here, you have a job here, will you be deported?
We're going to see what happens once we strengthen up our border. We're going to have a strong border, as strong as any border there is anywhere in the world. We're going to have a real wall. We're going to have tremendous protection, both technological protection and everything else. And then we're going to see what happens. But there is a very good chance the answer could be yes, we're going to see what happens.
Greg, I was watching this last night, and I came away at the end of the interviewing having no idea what was going on. I mean, I was trying hard to pay attention. Greg, what is Trump's position on immigration?
Well, later on in that interview, what he said was that everyone, all 11 million here illegally, have to leave and then come back. You know, as someone once described it, you know, he's modifying his position in real time as the interview is happening. He's adjusting to what he hears and modifying his proposals. But, you know, he's trying to appeal to, as was said earlier, to those suburban voters who just are not comfortable with where he is on immigration. He's a bit out of step. And so he was trying to walk it back a little bit and ended up tripping over his own feet in the end and confusing almost everyone.
Well, Julie, I want to take on face value how important the issue of immigration is to a core group of Donald Trump's supporters. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, Ann Coulter's going crazy over this. Sarah Palin called it wishy-washy. I mean, we can laugh, but seriously, I'm serious about this. Right. Immigration is a central importance to to Trump's most passionate supporters. I mean, they do not like this wishy-washiness, to use Palin's words.
This moment is a real test of their devotion to Donald Trump, because what we've seen so far is that he can be all over the place on any issue and it doesn't matter. He can actually hold like simultaneously contradicting positions on various things and nobody cares. As we say here in Washington, nothing matters anymore. But on immigration, you're absolutely right. This is one of the issues that he rose, that he ascended on, and now he's all over the place on it. And it's a really tough one for him. It's going to test their willingness to stick with him. And also, it's preposterous for someone that 74, 75 days out from the election to be kind of on the fly making up their immigration policy. This is a very basic thing.
And Greg, the question is it going to work, right? I mean, he's polling so poorly with Latinos, for instance, and African Americans.
I can't imagine that working. You know, it's too late for a reset. That reset should have happened right after the Republican convention. Doing it at this stage of the game only reinforces what Trump himself says, that people are suspicious of politicians telling people what they want to hear just to get a vote. And now he's falling into the same trap. I don't think it's going to work. I would be even surprised if he got 8% of the African-American vote. I wonder who that 8% would be.
Well, let's move on to talking about Hillary Clinton here for a second, Julie, because she struggled this week with more news about her private emails. She was on ABC's Jimmy Kimmel show, and she laughed off concerns about more emails expected to be released soon.
Jimmy, my emails are so boring.
Yeah.
And I mean, I'm embarrassed about that. They're so boring. So we've already released, I don't know, 30,000 plus. So what's a few more?
So at the end, you...
Ha-ha, but not so funny to a lot of voters, Julie.
No, and not to a lot of journalists either. That's nice that Hillary Clinton sat down with Jimmy Kimmel. She hasn't had a press conference since December of last year. So that is particularly outrageous. Also, you know, her emails, actually, it turns out they're not that boring, nor is her calendar. And what we've seen this week is a rush to defend Hillary Clinton, to defend these meetings with big contributors to the Clinton Foundation as, oh, there's nothing there. From the very same people who were completely outraged that big contributors during the Bush administration were meeting with Dick Cheney to craft energy policy.
And this didn't go anywhere.
Same issue.
Yeah, this didn't go anywhere this morning on MSNBC today. She was asked if she was sure there was no more damaging emails to come about the Clinton Foundation. Let's hear that.
I am sure. And I am sure because I have a very strong foundation of understanding about the foundation, not to have a play on words.
So she says she is sure. But the Trump campaign says that all this stuff about calling him a bigot is a way to actually avoid the issue of the emails. And you kind of wonder if they have a point about that, Julie.
Yeah,
they absolutely do have a point. It's a diversion. But Hillary Clinton's confidence that there's nothing else there, you know, we'll see. There's going to be so many more released.
Well, Greg.
I was just going to say, I'm not at all sure that there's nothing to see there. I think it's a really dangerous moment for her to see the report that came out from AP showing how preoccupied people in the State Department were in conversations with folks from the Clinton Foundation, trying to get contributors, meetings and things of that nature. You know, she says there's smoke but no fire. Well, generally, where there's smoke, truly, there is fire.
Yeah. Well, in the last couple of seconds that we have, you know, a couple months ago, we started talking about how this last stretch to Election Day was going to be a battle of the negatives. And I think this week really epitomizes that. And I'm wondering, how much of a factor might it be for people who are getting turned off by both Trump and Clinton? Julie?
Oh, I think most people already are deeply turned off by both Trump and Clinton. That isn't benefiting the libertarians yet, though. We'll see if they can make it onto the debate stage. But this is a tough election for both of them. Nobody let both of these candidates are terrible.
Greg,
maybe we're getting what we deserve.
Greg, you've got the final word.
Now, the only thing I would say is it's interesting when it comes to the Clinton Foundation that Donald Trump himself donated about $100,000 to the foundation. And that may be why he is not as focused on this issue as people think he should be. Watch. Stay tuned.
All right. Well, we certainly will be staying tuned. It was a fascinating week in politics. Greg Moore is former editor of the Denver Post. And Julie Mason, host of The Press Pool on Sirius XM. Thanks to you both.
Thank you.
Thank you.